Okay, I'm George Butler, along with Tony Gosling, and I'm from Austin, Texas, and I've been broadcasting for about 14 years on The Secret Truth. And Tony and I've had dozens, virtually, of interviews, and I think a lot of Tony and his insights. And I've been a realtor for 50 years here in Texas, but I started broadcasting as a radio broadcaster about 14 years ago with Charlotte Littlefield Brown. She's my co-host.
Okay, so George, can you tell us a bit about your military experience?
Well, I spent 3 years in the Army Security Agency between 63, 64, and 1965. And my last year was in West Berlin, and I was working on top of the Teufelsberg, which was a 370-foot mountain of rubble in the Green Forest in West Berlin. And we were intercepting all kinds of signal communications and communication stuff all around us, 360 degrees. But one of our main targets was the Stasi. So we were zeroed in on the Stasi, which was the East German secret police. And then, of course, we were intercepting Russian and East German military command calls and so forth. And so I was there for 1 year, and it was very, very insightful.
I mean, when the Berlin Wall fell, George, I think
Right,
everyone
right.
was hope. When the Berlin Wall fell, I think everyone was hoping for that what they called the peace dividend, which never really materialized, did it?
Right. When we were there in 65, the Berlin Wall had not been completed with these modular units. And on one side, like Bernauerstrasse, that's what one tourist spot there in West Berlin. On one side of the street were buildings, and that was the wall. The front of the buildings was the wall, and they had not demolished those buildings. And then they had concrete block. They blocked up the doorways and windows and ran wire across the top, barbed wire across the top of the buildings. And that was the wall when I was there in places in West Berlin, East Berlin.
Yeah, so
And they
when
were
it fell.
shooting people at night. They were coming across at night. During the day, it was too risky. But at night, they would come through some of those buildings that were still being torn down, and they were shooting those people at night. They had trip flares, and they had minefields in places where they had cleared out the buildings, and it was just a kill zone. And at night, you would be walking downtown and partying, going out or whatever, and hear machine gun fire. Because the wall was pretty close to the downtown area in places.
Now, George, how does this all compare to the Mexican border? Because you're down there in Texas, aren't you? Not too far away from
Well,
the border.
I actually did work, real estate work, in the Rio Grande Valley, which is the further south of the valley in Texas, and it's where they grow oranges and fruits. And also a lot of vegetables are grown there. So anyway, to make a long story short, I've had experience, and then I managed a Hilton hotel in Del Rio that was in a Chapter 11 bankruptcy one time. But anyway, there's a lot of workers that go back and forth every day across the border, okay? And the border people there know who they are, and they just wave them through. So in my experience, it's been a pretty open border as far as if you're working in one on one side of the Mexican border or not. The when the cartels changed everything, and I was in Del Rio in 1970, and that would be about 50 years ago, and the border was different there than it is today. With the rise of the cartels, there's a lot more smuggling going on in different places, and also human trafficking is going on at a high level. So we didn't have that back when I was looking at the wall, but the wall is necessary in certain places, but there's other places that are wide open, you know?
Well, that's an interesting tale you're telling there, saying that you actually think that there's more coming across the wall now than there was in, say, in the 1960s.
Oh yes, many more because, well, you know, the Central American countries, Guatemala and Honduras, have been basket cases. And MS-13 has been strong in some of those areas, I think Honduras in particular. And it's driven a lot of people north to want to emigrate into the United States.
What's MS-13?
That's a gang out of Honduras, I think. Well, actually, they were originally out of El Salvador, okay? But now they're operating in several of the other Central American countries. It's a very vicious, very bloodthirsty. MS-13 is what Trump was going after in this country. They have gangs over here, MS-13 gangs over here now, and they're very deadly, and they've helped facilitate drug distribution, and think Chicago is one of the main hubs in this country of drug distribution.
Anyway, you're based in Austin, Texas, which is kind of legendary, really. A bit of a sort of cultural zone, but I know you're not in Austin at the moment. Can you just tell us about what's been going on with the weather?
Well, we, over the years in Texas, growing up in Austin, we've always had northers. What we call a norther is a cool, well, air coming down, and we'd have these cool spells, and then we'd warm up. Well, this one, because of the jet stream dipping down into the south, then we've had a lot more cold weather and more deadly weather from our viewpoint than we've ever had in our history almost. And it's in Dallas, it got well below 20 or 30 below freezing. Here it got down to about 15 to 20 degrees below freezing here.
Just and, to be clear, you're talking Fahrenheit there, aren't you?
Yes, Fahrenheit is what our deal is. So 32 is the freezing point. It got down to 9 degrees where I'm at right now, Fahrenheit. So that was something like 25 or 23 degrees below freezing. And
okay, so Dallas, how has that affected you? You know, what's it been like living down there in this kind of temperature? Have you got snow as well, nights, and what?
Well, what happened was we have an ERCOT, and that is an association that manages our energy resources in Texas. Most of the power generating companies are members of that. But to make a long story short, we've had in the last 10 years or more, we've had a lot of wind power in West Texas developed, but it's been developed with subsidies by government, see? So these big turbines are like a couple of hundred feet tall to the actual turbine that is elevated off the ground by that much. And those propellers that are wind-driven are 112 feet long. So what they've done is, here's the problem right now in Texas, and there's a few different facets to it. One is the this ERCOT, we think, could have cut back to get the retail price of the energy up for a period of time. We've had diminished supplies of natural gas. We've had problems with that production, which is really our clean burning source of fuel here. And then the wind turbines and, of course, the solar, which is right now in the wintertime, the cloud covers too much. But the wind turbines stopped turning. It got so cold and there was rain and snow that it coated some of the propellers, the blades of these wind turbines, to where that was one factor that kept the aerodynamics different. But one of the main things, and they haven't been talking about this, but anyway, up at the top where the actual turbine is, electrical turbine to generate the electricity, our gear is a gear system, okay? And this gearing system, it runs inside of an oil, okay? Because there's a lot of heat generated. Well, when you get down to the temperatures that we've had, the viscosity of that oil gets real thick. And I think that's what stopped our wind turbines from turning more than any other factor. The blades, because they were coated with snow and ice, that probably did something also. But the thickness of the oil inside the gearbox, you could say, I think, got so cold, and it just stopped the gears from being able to turn.
We think of Texas as a sort of the home of oil. I mean, have you not got anywhere you can burn some oil and make some power that way?
Well, what has happened, this green movement has come in and started pushing the wind and the solar. Now, during the summer, we've got a lot of sunshine in Texas. But during the winter, we have a lot of cloud cover, so that diminishes there. The wind stuff has been subsidized, so it's artificially subsidizing our overall energy, you could say, mix, you know. But we have a lot of natural gas. The problem with natural gas is the transportation of it to the source of consumption. And so we're building a lot of pipelines that there's a Permian Highway pipeline just completed from the Permian Basin, which is West Texas, to the Gulf Coast, where they can collect it and put it on freighters, on ships, to into Europe and Africa. That's what's going on in the Gulf Coast now. But natural gas has a problem of transportation. See?
Okay, so George, what's life been like there, and you know, how long has it been?
Well, because we're never, like, it was snowing here in Central Texas earlier today. We're not used to these cold conditions, so when they started cutting back the power, people were inside their homes freezing to death. And so we have a motel investment here that we're taking in people when providing them free rooms. And we've got our mayor here, Connie Kassir, is just working with us really well on providing foods. And we've got churches that are donating, coming out and bringing us supplies so we can pass on to some of these people that need shelter, emergency shelter. And so they were almost driven out of their homes with no heat source. See? And most of the heat source in a lot of Texas now is electric heat source, heat strips. Okay.
Okay. So how are you heating the hotel?
Well, we have special manna through the wall units that are both heat and cool. And for the heating, that we use electric. And we haven't been down, thank goodness, on the motel. Because I think we're on an electric line early on that's next to the hospital. The hospital is maybe half a mile away from us. And so we think that because the hospital had to maintain power to there, that they maintained us too, see.
Okay, and, so, I mean, are people in Texas annoyed that the electricity, something as basic as that, has just collapsed? This is almost like a developing world country.
Well, yeah, what's happening right now is Abbott, Governor Abbott, okay, what we did, we started entertaining these alternative energy sources like wind and solar and so forth, but this was an exceptionally cold northerner, you know, we call it a northerner, you know, and we've never experienced the cold as we have in the last week here. So it was an exceptionally cold period that kept some of our production from being transported. They were saying some of the gas production, some of the gas collecting systems run on electric pumps. See, you have to have pumps to pump the gas through so some of the electricity got knocked out. So that affected the infrastructure of even getting the natural gas to the market, to where power plants could use it.
Oh, amazing. Now, I mean, you've obviously had people in and out of the motel there. How are the locals taking it all?
Well, we've had a really good response. Gonzales is the birthplace of Texas Revolution. I don't know if you knew that. So we, along with you could say the Hispanics and a few black people, got together and overthrew General Anna. And so we had a big battle. We actually burned this city down, retreating after the Alamo. Then they came to Gonzales to do battle with us. We evacuated, retreated from Gonzales to down in around Houston at the San Jacinto Bayou around here. They have bayous down there. They're like, you know, little in anyway, they're like waterways, okay? This is the best way to describe them. Like little bays and things like that. A bayou is part of a bay, you know, but upstream, up from the actual bay, up and more inland. A bayou is part of a bay, but much, much more inland than a bay. But anyway, Gonzales people are really American born and actually they're Texas born, but affiliated with Texas on a real conservative basis. So we've had a lot of the people here turn out, come out here. The police are working with us and things like that. And we just got a really good community. And I'll say this, Connie Cossier is just a tremendous mayor for Gonzales, Texas. She is really a top-notch lady, you know, and mayor.
Okay, so what about the political situation in the U.S.? You've just got yourself a new president. What's happening with Mr. Trump? Is he disappearing off?
No, he's coming back strong now. He castigated Mitch McConnell yesterday in a very strong statement. He's coming back to be much more aggressive. He's going to go on the offense now. But Biden, okay, Joe Biden, President Biden, has come in and started signing all of these executive orders, which have tried to turn back everything that Trump did. But what he's done is he has not a good understanding of the border. And so what they're doing, here's what's happening in the Texas border. And this is all the way from the Gulf of Mexico to San Diego, Tijuana area, is that the cartels are benefiting from the chaos that is existing. And Biden has introduced even more chaos, because before, under Trump, the people that were waiting to enter the United States had to wait in Mexico. And Mexico had pretty well agreed that was a good plan. Now they're allowing those people in and to be released until their first hearing before an immigration court. But they're being admitted into the United States without any COVID-19 testing and all that, see. And so that's presenting a big problem to Texas and to the United States. And so Biden's immigration is totally a disaster.
What about nationally? How's things going over there? And you know, with the Congress? Because I understand that, you know, you've had congressional elections as well, haven't you? And Republicans have lost their majority.
Well, what I was going to say was the church in Mexico, Catholic Church, is pushing and supporting all this illegal immigration in the United States. The Democrats are going to benefit from this immigration. They'll sign those people up as Democrats or whatever as soon as they can. So the Democratic Party has been pushing for open borders. We have groups that are open border advocates, and then we have other people more like Trump that are, hey, let's control it. We're going to allow people into the country, but on a control basis. And that's what I agree with Trump's immigration policies. And then on the other side are the open borders, which is advocated by Biden and Kamala Harris and them. But we have a problem with Biden that we're seeing problems, perhaps dementia problems right now, because he's not wanting or he's not going to be available to talk to some world leaders for a month or two. And then Kamala's been talking to some of these people. So we see the beginnings of Kamala Harris playing a more important role, active role in sort of the leading, executive in the executive branch.
Okay, but for people listening outside the United States, most people do, to our program anyway, the main consideration is American foreign policy. You know, what is the Americans going to do? You know, you seem to, as Americans, George, have taken over the old British role of the bullies of the world. You know, we used to be the bullies of the world. And now you're the bullies of the world with all sorts of things like intervening in Iraq, you know, all the stuff in Afghanistan and everywhere else. So, what do you think is going to happen with the foreign policy? Where's that heading?
Well, we're going to they're going to reactivate some of these conflicts, I'm afraid, under Biden. And I don't see us continuing to pull out of those countries like Trump had. Finally, he was like, for example, in Syria, you know, the White Hats ran some of those false flag operations. And so Trump was tricked by the first, I think there were four main White Hat gas attacks that the White Helmets were involved in. And this was probably run by our CIA and, you know, deep state. Mossad probably in there with them. They had a secret base in Jordan, in fact, that we think that Consortium News tracked down one of the attacks to with a drone attack. But anyway, Trump was tricked by the first two attacks, false flag. And the last two, I think he resolved to exit Syria. And that's pretty well what he continued to do was withdraw there, withdraw out of Iraq and then put up a very strong face or a reaction to the Iranians. And Biden has been open to the Iran and all of that, which Trump was against.
How's this whole thing going to go with Biden? Is it going to work out?
No, it's not going to work because he's upsetting a lot of the existing. He's actually very disruptive. Okay. And like on this Keystone gas pipeline coming out of Canada, that would add to our energy independence. And so Biden actually is going against energy independence. We finally attained under Trump a energy independence. We were actually becoming an exporter of gas and other things. Okay. And under Biden, he's actually going back the opposite direction on our energy independence. So right now we've got the Congress that has a small majority in the House. They're the ones that brought this last impeachment action against Trump, which was, and then we had the January 6th. Right now, some of the breaking news is that it was a government run operation on January 6th. So it was a false flag on January 6th. And that's our latest, most up-to-date idea of possibilities that happened. We don't have total proof, but we have a lot of things that were happening that were like Pelosi was notified of pending problems. And they were notified by FBI and other people who had uncovered that there might be a problem of some extreme elements there in the Capitol. We had five deaths, but we only had one officer that died, and he didn't get hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. That was false information that the press were circulating. But the man did die of other problems. But we had one officer that died. We had three civilians that were like demonstrators, supporters of Trump or the action. And then we had one lady that was shot in the neck trying to climb through a window inside of the U.S. Capitol building. And so we've had five deals. And what the Democrats have done, they seized upon an opportunity to accelerate the extremist angle on this and to gather more and more support. And what they've done also is we have a very dangerous purge that could possibly be taking place of your conservative Trump supporters. And Pelosi and all of them and Schumer and all of them are advocating. And there's just been a recent thing, an honoree, a general honoree is his name. He's been appointed, I think, by Pelosi to do a investigation.
Could you just tell us what the weather's like now and what the forecast is?
Okay. The weather is moderating and getting warmer in a couple of days. Both the nights over tonight and the next night will be freezing. But after Friday, starting Saturday, both day and night here in this area will be above freezing. So we'll be out of it by that time. People can start returning to their homes beginning Saturday, probably.
Okay, and those wind turbines might start to move again.
Yes, they could, because it depends. Like I said, nobody is reporting on the angle that I've listened to about the oil inside of the gear boxes. They're as big as a small car, okay? A small SUV, but 200 feet off the ground. And inside there would be a generator with a system of gears to drive that generator to generate the electricity. And so,
George, yeah. I guess you're admitting now that climate change is real, yeah?
Well, I'm on the side here's what's happened. It is a method by which, well, climate is always changing, but it's what has happened that I see over the last 30 years, beginning in our school system, is that it's a political system of control. Okay. However accurate some of these people are on both either side is debatable, but it is a major political tool to control people, and they're going for it and been educated into it. So that's where your elitists are using the climate change or global warming as a political tool versus what is really the truth. Okay.
Okay, well, I hope you get a bit of global warming over the next few days, George.
Okay, Tony. Well, thank you, man. I enjoyed it. Okay.
Just tell us whereabouts people can find you online, George.
Oh, it's thesecrettruth.com, thesecrettruth.com. Okay?
George Butler, thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, Tony, thank you. And ciao. Okay?